approach to better living, trying to give you some ideas, some inspiration, some insight, and introduce you to people who are doing cool things in our community and beyond. Today is actually Playing for Change Day, and if you haven't heard about it, do yourself a favor and check out playingforchange.com. It's a really neat, eclectic collection of music from around the world pieced together to inspire, connect, and bring peace to the world through music. And I thought it was a pretty beautiful and inspiring stuff on that website. So check it out, playingforchange.com. Speaking of music, we recently had a cool opportunity to see a band that we grew up with in the 80s, Streetheart, strumming away their famous tunes just a few feet away from where we were standing. No, we didn't have front-row tickets to a concert. Not exactly, anyway. Our friends were celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, and they chose to spend their money entertaining their favorite 100 people for a backyard party. And on the main stage, or actually it was more in the garage, was their favorite rock and roll band playing a live private concert for all of us to enjoy. We really did enjoy it, but what I was really noticing was how this eclectic group of people, there were so many different ways of showing enjoyment. You know, some people were kind of in a quiet embrace, just swaying to the music, and that was cool. And some people were in front, jumping up and down, dancing to the music and rocking it out. And some people were sitting at the back, kind of arm in arm, just watching all the action unfold. And it really reinforced to me that there isn't just one way to enjoy any experience. In fact, there's many, many ways, and there's neither right or wrong. They celebrated their 25th with 100 people. We celebrated ours with just the two of us. No right way, no wrong way, just different. It doesn't have to be, as my dad used to say, my way or the highway. I think that same philosophy could really serve us well in life in general, because it can be applied in different ways. Expressing grief or pain or anger or elation, just because it's not the way that we would express it, it doesn't mean that it's not a clear and valid way. I remember after my dad died, my mom had a really hard time getting rid of his clothing, and she actually kept the clothes in the closet, I would say, for about a year. And one of her friends said to her, well, I think that's morbid that you do that. And it really upset my mom. And I thought, you know, there isn't a book that tells you, you know, give the clothes away after a certain date and then, you know, you're good. No, it's all of this is individual. And I think that we could, you know, be a lot less judgmental. How many times we've judged others for the way they've acted or reacted just because it's different than the way we would do it. It doesn't mean it's wrong. What I find is being judgmental does not make them so. It just makes us judgmental. I think part of living our life unlimited is honoring the differences and expressing emotion and being less judgmental and less critical. So, you know, if that serves you in your world, think about how often you're judging people and asking yourself, is that the right way? And a little bit later on, I'm going to give you some tips for being less judgmental, if that's an area of your world that you think you could do with working on. And I know personally for me, I'm always working on that. It's not my way or the highway. Coming up after the break, I'm going to introduce you to Reverend Glenn Morrison. He is the program director of Open Circle and Restorative Justice. If you haven't heard about it, I think you'll find it very, very interesting. And speaking of judgmental, this will be a great place to apply some of those principles back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Welcome back to the show. It's Stephanie Staples, and you are listening to Your Life Unlimited on CJOB. I want to send a big shout out to TiberRiver.ca, 408 Academy, 1650 Keniston Road. Check them out. They smell good, makes you feel good, and it makes you look good too. I am happy to introduce you to Reverend Glenn Morrison. He is the program director for Open Circle. And if you haven't heard about it, I think it's time you should. So if you're in front of the computer, maybe punch up initiativesjc.org. And Glenn, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at Open Circle.
Well, Open Circle has been going on in Winnipeg for over 40 years. It's we sometimes refer to the program that isn't a program because it's so simple. We match volunteer visitors with long-term inmates for friendship. And we believe...
You just have to say that again because it's so unusual. Say it again.
We match volunteer visitors with long-term inmates for the purpose of friendship.
Wow. So that in itself, talking about what we were talking about earlier, about being less judgmental, that's huge.
It's a, when you first started, it's a giant challenge. And I think it transforms you in that the challenge will be transformational for both people.
Wow. So how long have you been involved with this?
I've been involved around jails and prisons for many years, but just finished my first year as a director at Open Circle.
Okay. So why should people care? Now, a lot of people think they're put away. It's not my responsibility. It's the government's responsibility. But you really believe this is everybody's issue.
Absolutely. And I think that there's three motivations. One is, I believe it does contribute to reducing recidivism and reducing crime, so it's better for the society. Secondly, it's better for the individual who's being visited. Their appreciation is almost astronomical. And I think that there, as I say, there's transformation for the volunteer. So in terms of them encountering someone so different from themselves that it makes us look at ourselves in a completely different way. And to put it in a few words, I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day who was describing how he provided protection to transgendered prostitutes. And protection in that world is a euphemism for being a pimp, and how lucrative it was and various things. And he said it was a very easy job because they just simply had to mention his name. And he goes, and these were his very words, "Back then I was trigger happy," which meant he was crazy and he liked to shoot his gun. So all they had to do was mention his name. And so he really did nothing but collect money. And he wasn't bragging. He was simply saying, this is part of my previous life. And that's pretty disgusting, you know, making your living by putting transgender prostitutes to work in the city of Winnipeg and risking their lives. And the whole, you know, he contributed nothing and took a lot from our society. So if I'm comparing my morality to his and my accomplishments, I trounce him so royally. That whole idea of competing with, am I better than my neighbor? Am I better than my brother in what I do? Falls apart. You know, you just trounce it by so much. On the same token, if I look at, you know, how his life began, and this person had been in the residential school system and suffered abuse. So, you know, again, he trounces me in terms of adversity. So it comes to a point where you just say, you know, that comparing game, you know, and it's exactly where your introduction was, that you know, that game breaks down so much that you just quit playing it, and that changes who you are. And yeah, and I think that's the experience of all of our volunteers.
So is there a common thread with your volunteers? Is there a common denominator, a certain type of people that would take upon this challenge? Because it sounds like a big challenge.
The thread is the...
Or opportunity.
Absolutely, both those words. The history of the organization, it was for long run by the Mennonite Central Committee. And 2 years ago, it became under this Initiatives for Just Communities, initiativesjc.org is the address, where four programs that all worked with restorative justice were grouped together and given a more ecumenical face, a more just the freedom to be a bit more broader in society. And I jokingly say the only question in my interview was, are you Mennonite? And I said no, and they hired me because they really wanted to just be different in the community. So our roots are certainly within not only the Christian Church, the Mennonite Church, but we are open to, it is a Christian organization, that's where our funds come from. But the motivation, I think, is for people who might find, there's all sorts of motivations, but usually it's that people have been touched somewhere in their life by seeing how the system isn't serving. And the reality is a volunteer and a friend simply isn't something that the province can provide. We might have very friendly staff working in jails. We might have caring and able, but when it's a staff position and when you have certain agendas and rules that prevent the kind of even, you know, they're trained not to be friends. So it's providing something that can't come anywhere else. So I think it's people who see that insight, don't want to just complain about the crime we have, but want to be involved. And often people somewhere in their life have been touched and realize what a terrible experience incarceration is and want to contribute to the chance of someone getting out and not recommitting crime.
It really is an incredible opportunity to be able to possibly influence somebody else who has had a life that most of us, I don't want to say normal, but, you know, regular, boring old folks, we would have no concept of what that kind of life is. For me to even go to a jail, the thought of that... It is a little bit overwhelming. So what would you tell somebody like me that was thinking, okay, well, maybe I could do some good. Maybe I could take a little responsibility for society as a whole.
Well, I guess to realize that you are going to stretch yourself, like not to try and pretend, not to make it stretch to you, but realize, to be honest about it. We have a monthly coffee house where we have people out on day passes. We have recently released people and we have our volunteer base come. And so that's a kind of a waiting, a stepping your toe on the water is to come to that environment, which is not the same as walking in a jail, but it's a step towards it. And that's a way to tell people. But even if, even if your first opportunity, first time walking through those doors, and believe me, although it was about 25 years ago, that sound of that door slamming behind you is even as a visitor, is a momentous moment that, that I haven't forgotten. So, but it's hard to reconjure it fully how someone else might experience it. So I sometimes forget that. That with time, it does become normal. And when I was studying in ministry and I had my first hospital placement, I just had this thought as I walked through. I was very nervous and I said, I'm visiting people who are sick, not sick who are people. And in the same way, we're visiting people who are incarcerated, not prisoners, not offenders is the term that the federal government uses. It's about friendship. And one of our volunteers in a little pitch thing just said, can you talk? Okay, then you can do this. So,
so how do you match up like a specific personality type with how do you know who's going to go with who?
One thing is we're open to saying if it's not working after two or three, we'll switch it. We don't ask 100 questionnaire like a dating organization. Okay. Generally, it's around some people say, I'm just crazy, silly, bored, and I just want someone to talk to. Other people do present that they want sort of spiritual mentorship. So that's probably the most important thing. The last thing we want is someone who's there to teach their religion and the other person just wants to chat. Right. Or the other way around, someone really wants to be mentored and the other person. So that's the most thing. And we look for instance, we had a volunteer who really liked opera, and I thought, yeah, it's going to be hard to find an opera guy. And so a guy mentioned the Turner, that he was upset that he had been in a jail that had the Turner Classic Movie Channel. He watched it all day, got transferred to Stony Mountain where they don't have it, and he was really missing it. And I thought, that's maybe as close as we're going to get to opera. And I kind of did it just on that phrase, and it worked fine. And it's working fine, has been for almost a year now. So it's a feel. It's an art, not a science. Okay. And as I say, we're prepared to say, you know, not really. This ain't working.
So how do you address the fact that, and I know some people think that if we do this, we're not putting our energy into the victim, that we're giving the criminal the attention, and that some people don't want to do that. They want to put all the energy resources into the person who was perpetrated.
I would say, you know, we're doing that. And MCC, which remains our core funder, is doing a number of things in victims' rights and victim advocacy. So it's I guess I don't generally choose to look at things in either or, but both. And the other thing is we're all victims of crime. We have the fear, you know, that often is heightened through the media. We have the tax costs. We have just the bombardment of images of crime. So in a sense, we're all victims. And I know that I begin with that when I talk to people, you know, that just acknowledging that, and usually by the time they get into a program like this, they're ready to do it themselves, that their crimes have victimized more than just the individuals they're engaged with.
Well, I know when I first heard about it, it really made me think differently, because they're going to be released eventually anyways. So if they can be released with a circle of support, with a circle of accountability, if there's something, anything we can do to help prevent that this isn't going to happen again, that is a really empowering role for Joe Citizen.
Absolutely. And it's just like we're not being ostriches. You know, the easy thing to do is exactly to say that we put them away and then we won't worry about them. No, we will have to worry. And being almost everyone that I've met in that's been incarcerated has had terrible, terrible betrayals of trust. And often that's fetal alcohol effects, which I think is rightly understood as an assault before you're born, and all sorts of betrayals of trust. And so connecting with one person who they can trust, and that's why we say absolutely the most important thing is showing up.
Right.
You know,
don't commit if you're not going to do it.
They're so used to people letting them down. It's been their life story. And so to give them that experience of one person being somewhere else changes the way they engage with the world. And I think that's the first step in going to that a crime-free life. There's lots of other things to do, but it's key and central.
Glenn, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing for our community. If you are interested in maybe dipping your toe in the water or just finding out a little bit more about Open Circle and what you can do to take responsibility for our environment, our community, contact Glenn. His number is 204-290-9200. 204-290-9200, or check out initiativesjc.org. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. Hi, it's Stephanie Staples with the Your Life Unlimited quick tip of the week. If you are interested in being a little bit less judgmental, here's a couple of things that you can do. If you're into meditation or quiet contemplation or just plain talking to yourself, see if this is helpful to you. Just notice when a judgmental thought passes your way. Say to yourself, that was interesting. I was really being judgmental there. I wonder what's up with that. Am I a little jealous, mad, sad about something? Judging me doesn't really do them any good, and it certainly doesn't do me any good. Let's just box up that thought and put it over there. Or you could try mentally shrinking that picture of you judging them. Or you could give people the benefit of the doubt. However outlandish, make up some reason why this situation could be happening. It always makes me feel better and reminds me that my choices aren't the only right ones. I don't know other people's stories. Or you could develop a mantra. There's probably something I don't know about this situation. Maybe the kids appear bad, have special needs. Maybe the driver that cut me off is speeding to see his dying mom in the hospital. Maybe. Well, you get the idea. Just the act of being aware may make you judge less. And in my books, you get points for even trying. Welcome back to Your Life Unlimited. I'm Stephanie Staples, and I want to send a big shout out to First Impressions Hair and Skin Team, 1631 St. Mary's Road, for all the great work that they do. We are promoting the next Motivational Mondays, momondays.com. The next one is happening on November 18th. They're always sold out. Grab your tickets early. $10, real story, real inspiration, and the nicest people you're ever going to want to meet in those in that room, I'll tell you right now. I'm excited to be speaking with the author of the brand new book called Wisdom to Success, Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. The lovely Deborah Dashinger is joining us this morning. Good morning, Deborah.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. I'm so happy to be on your inspirational show. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So, goal achievement expert, who doesn't have some goals to achieve? Let's hear a little bit about your story and kind of what brought you to this point.
Well, exactly. Who doesn't have a goal? I certainly had a ton of them. I just didn't always know how to execute it. But definitely throughout my past, it's been peppered with little telltale signs where I really wanted some big, juicy things to happen. And sometimes I hit them and sometimes I missed them. But I really embarked on a journey to discover how. And I came up with a recipe, and I've been teaching it ever since. I've had great success with it. Everybody I know who uses the method also has. It's one thing we're never taught in schools. So basically, I've recreated myself so many times, and honestly, I don't know if I'm even there yet. The rest of my life may be a continual journey like this.
I can tell you right now, you're not there yet, because whenever we're here, there's a brand new there right in front of us. That's how it works.
Exactly. I never even thought I'd be an author, and here I am with the second book. So, you know, stay tuned. But I've done it all. I've done jewelry. I've been a successful actress and singer. I've been a voiceover artist. I have also been a motivational speaker. Now I run a very successful radio show. Time as a goal achievement expert, author. I teach coaching,
So I love the idea of having
the passion.
I love the idea of having big, juicy goals. And I think some of us are afraid to set big, juicy goals for fear that we won't be able to pull them off. So what's your thought on that, setting like small, reasonable, manageable goals or setting these big, juicy goals?
I think you can go either way, and it depends. Some people are so scared off by the idea of a big, juicy goal and how far away they are. So for those people, I would always suggest do the smaller ones. When you have success under your belt, you'll be more encouraged to go forward. Other people are more inclined to leap quickly. And if they are, then they understand that if they take actionable steps every day, they will eventually get there, whether it's small or big.
So you've got a 3-2-1 technique that you're going to share with us, aren't you?
3-2-1 technique. Okay. So here's what I suggest. I always tell people you have to go out there in a really big way. I don't ever suggest playing small. And be, you know, if nobody speaks up for your dreams or your goals, then nobody will. You're literally the only champion in your life for something like this. So you have to understand that if there's something you desire, you are the one who needs to go after it. I always suggest, one, have a strategic plan. And that may sound like a lot of work, but it's super simple. You sit down with a pad, paper, figure out where you are, where you want to be, what kind of steps you think you need to take, and then hold on to that sheet because you'll use it every day to take steps. The next thing I suggest strategically, ask. look in your life. Who can you talk to? Who has what you want that you can interview? Where can you end up? Always ask, ask, ask in the most, you know, I would say with leverage, leverage, always offer something in return when somebody does something on your behalf.
Oh, stop. I like that word.
Right?
Leverage. Let's talk about that word. I've never heard that before.
That's business with love. That's using the leverage and the influence that you have to do something with kindness. When somebody, look, in my position and possibly in yours too, you might understand this, but when you're in a position of influence, a lot of people have a tendency to come and ask for things, and it's very draining because they're asking, but they're not offering anything. But those few people who understand the idea of give and receive, that they offer something with service and then ask for something, well, you're more likely to do business with them.
Well,
so
I would like to tap onto that one because I'm going to tell you, if one more person says, I'd like to pick your brain, I want to ban that phrase because picking your brain, doesn't it sound painful? It does not sound pleasant at all. So why would you want to offer somebody to pick their brain? I always say, ask if you can tap into their brilliance or something that sounds nice and complimentary because most people, you know, we don't mind helping other people. Somebody helped us and we want to help them. But I just think that whole picking your brain thing has a bad and painful connotation to it.
Yes, it certainly does. And that's like, they need to understand you're the 100th person saying, can I just take you for coffee because I want to? Or a total stranger who's saying, can you just teach me how to? And that's when, you know, in a way, it's really good for people who are of influence to learn to say, well, I really admire what you're going after. I would love to tell you that I've got a coaching session, so I can give you 5 minutes for free, but after that, my fees are X. You have to really be a champion for yourself, for your time, and for your attention.
I'll tell you one thing I'd like to share as well is that, so lots of people said, yeah, I'll take you out for coffee, take you out for lunch. I could spend my entire day going out for coffee or lunch, but one lady said she would like to take me for dinner, and it was at this like 5-star place. She came and picked me up. So she had half an hour in the car with me, took me for like a 5-course dinner, drove me home. And I thought, that is a smart woman. Now, the next person whose brilliance I would like to tap into, that's what I'll be offering. Like you said, leverage, something with value and just to make people realize that you really appreciate their time. So I agree with you. Ask, but ask in that way that really honors where the person's at and that they can help you. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, more with Deborah Dashinger. She's the author of Wisdom to Success. Back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. We are back on Your Life Unlimited with Stephanie Staples. If you like what you're hearing, check out yourlifeunlimited.ca. Lots of good resources there for you to use. And if you've always been thinking about coaching and never were ready to press the go button, what are you waiting for? There is no better time. Deborah Dashinger is our guest. Deborah, you've been coaching for a long time, and also there are benefits of being coached, right? You can't be a great coach without having been coached yourself. What are some moments in your life that really popped out, some coachable moments for you?
Really coachable moments are when somebody could see the truth that I wasn't able to see. Somebody could see a step that I wasn't able to see. I would say recently the most two impressive experiences I've had is when somebody pointed out my resistance and when somebody pointed out about my letting go. So I'm very good at taking action and I'm very good at doing things, but I'm also a little bit controlling. I am so tenacious. I really want things to happen. But there is so much grace in letting go. So the first piece, letting go, somebody showed me the idea that after taking action, 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 the next thing I had to do is learn to let the winds of the universe, to let something else take over, to relax that I had done all that I could do, to actually go out and play and have fun and create some balance in my life. I work on that every day to say I've done enough, what next, what looks like fun. And the other piece, which I think is very interesting for people, and this is so coachable, you can even coach yourself. Where in your life are you saying, I really want this, I really desire this, and yet you stand up and get in your own way. Maybe an opportunity comes up and you say, oh, I don't really want to go there. I'm too tired. Oh, I don't really want to speak to that person. I'm too nervous. Oh, I don't want to put that out. That's too much energy. You're saying you want it, but you're actually working against yourself. That's resistance. So we have to start to see, where does that pop up in our life, that resistance getting in our way, and learn how to recognize it and then let it go and say, no, I'm willing to do what it takes. I'm willing to stand up for myself and carry through. That's where we have great success.
It's interesting, actually, the concept just made me think about like resistance versus acceptance. And there comes sometimes different points in our life where we just accept certain things, which is good. It can be good, but it can also be bad. And I'm going to put my husband on the spot here. So he was trying on pants last night. We were going out and he goes, oh my gosh, like the pants are all, they're all too small. You know, it's all too tight around the waist. He says, I got to buy bigger pants. And I said, well, wait a minute. Like maybe you don't have to buy bigger pants. Like maybe you just have to, you know, cut out eating after 8 o'clock or something like that. No, no, I need bigger pants. Well, you know what? As soon as we accept that we can move to the next size or, you know, something that's good enough, sometimes I think that holds us back. So I think that's when acceptance can be bad.
Yeah, that's an excellent example, because what you're talking about is somebody who's really not at peace, right? They're not living in either world. Now, acceptance means, and there's a choice either way, your husband can totally accept, this is where I'm at, it's okay, it's good enough, and I'm just going to get another size because I'll be comfortable, and then lets it go and lives in today and in the present moment. Or, this is not acceptable. I don't feel healthy and good in my body. I'm going to choose to do something about it. What's my strategic plan? How am I going to eat? How am I going to exercise? Where do I want to be? And then puts out the energy to work until he gets there and then accepts that new place. But if we live in neither world and are constantly a little bit at war with ourselves, I'm here, but I don't feel good here, but I'm not really there, it's a difficult place to be, and how many of us do that with every aspect of our lives, career, love, body, our self, relationship, and peace. So it's really important when we choose where we really want to be to take the action to get there or accept where we are and make that okay.
I think that's a really good point about that kind of sitting in between, and now that I feel bad about it, I talked about my husband. I'll just say the same thing for me because we're coming off of summer, getting into the fall clothes, and, you know, summer clothes are a little looser. So I'm at the same place, so I won't just blame him on that. So you talk about in your book, if it scares you, do it. There's also that fine line in between there, is that recognizing if something scares you, maybe you shouldn't do it. And how do you know if something's scaring you and blocking you? Should you do it anyway?
Oh, such a good point, because there's only one fear to pay attention to that is really on our side, and that's the fear that says, don't go into the dark alley at midnight.
Intuition.
So if you have, right? Exactly. That's something that's speaking up for us and taking care of us. But really, we know the truth. If it's something that's a positive risk that's going to get us out there, put us in a new position, but we're afraid, well, that's okay, because people feel that all the time. And there's so many things you can do with that kind of fear. I mean, in a way, you could check in inside and know if the end result, if I can actually create what I say I desire, will that be light or will that be heavy? Well, generally, if it's something you want to desire, a love relationship, a new career, traveling, you know, whatever kind of yummy dream or goal, it's going to be light. And if it is, then, you know, there's that old book, feel the fear, do it anyway. Seriously, feel the fear, do it anyway. You can acknowledge, I'm afraid, and yet courage means doing things in spite of fear. I'm going to step out. I'm going to do this because I desire it. I'll never know unless I do this. I have taken so many journeys that I didn't know the end result. I didn't even know what the journey was going to be like. And in spite of feeling all sorts of trepidation, I allowed myself to go out there. Sometimes we sort of have to parent ourselves and say, it's okay, honey. It's okay. I have your back. I'll be right here. We'll be fine. Just take that step. Because that's really where the amazing experiences come, when we put ourselves out there. So I say, feel the fear, do it anyway. And sometimes you can actually tell the fear, I recognize you, but I'm going to postpone you for right now, and I'm going to take the next step.
Oh, I like that one. Postpone the fear. Mm-hmm. There's probably a whole bunch of other negative feelings that we could just postpone. I'll just deal with you later. I was talking earlier about being judgmental. It's like, okay, you know what? It's not serving me well. Can we just put you in a box, put you over here, and maybe we'll pull you out later? And probably we won't.
Indeed. Yes, you could put any kind of debilitating experience, emotion that we bring up in our own space that stops us. Most of us have patterns, and whatever your pattern is, it's okay. Everybody's got them. You put them there a long time ago to protect yourself, but it's not serving you anymore. It's actually holding you back. So whatever it is, recognize it, postpone it. And what happens is if you keep being successful, stepping out and doing things, it starts to diminish. The voice of that debilitating emotion starts to diminish, and the other one starts to take over, the one that's fearless, the one that is certain, the one that judges less and accepts more. So go towards that.
And I highly encourage you to open up a folder on your computer, call it your success list, start writing down things that you've done, things that you're doing, things that you're on your way to that have been successful, that have turned out well, and just keep adding to that list. And you'll be surprised when you put your mind to it, how many things you've actually already done that have been awesome.
That's a beautiful idea. Right. You can write lists about going towards your success and what you want to create. It's also just as important to acknowledge to yourself, what have I already done? What have I been? What have I experienced? Sometimes it's I showed up for my kids and helped raise them. I taught someone how to ride a bicycle. I clean out the garage. I was a soft shoulder for somebody to cry on the other day.
I smell good.
I smell good.
We're going to take a break back in a moment on Your Life Unlimited. We are back on Your Life Unlimited. We've been talking with Debbie Dashinger, the author of Wisdom to Success and the host of the Dare to Dream show. You can find her at DeborahDashinger.com and her book on Amazon as well. Deborah, you've been doing a lot of work in helping people live joyfully. If there was just one thing you could tell people, what do you want people to know?
Put your future in good hands, your own. You're the one who's actually going to make things happen. So just know that if you put a small value on yourself, then the world will not raise your price. But if you really value who you are, your life, your dreams, your goals, and you go after them, you'll be amazed at what shows up for you. Give your dreams all the time that they need.
I love that idea. Raise the price on yourself. If nobody else is going to value you, we have to value ourselves and raise that. I love that idea. Thanks so much, Deborah, for all you're doing to make our world a better place. It's great having you on the show, and let's do it again. You've been listening to Your Life
Unlimited.
Thank you. You've been listening to Your Life Unlimited. We're trying to give you some ideas for better living. Lots more at yourlifeunlimited.ca. And as usual, I'm Stephanie Staples, encouraging you to live your life unlimited.